Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell, this hour of the show, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Yeah! Man, this was like the soundtrack of me flunking out of Florida State, by the way. It really was. They walk. Yeah, man. It really was, man. They talk. Yeah. It's just, sorry. From White Castle to the Nile. Yeah, that was a soundtrack of failure for me, Abe. Beastie Boys, fall of 86 into the winter of 87, a semester and a half. Poof. And my father tell me, I told you so. Could have gone to Union College, played hockey, you idiot. I know. He's right. But it all worked out at the end of the day. It all worked out.
Do you ever listen to songs either from an era prior to yours or maybe the era now that is also not yours necessarily and wonder how like songs became hits?
I don't know. I mean, to me, Beasties, they stand the test of time. Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction, and Ill Communication was the soundtrack of me in Tallahassee. And that was, I mean, that's it. I mean, that's basically rinse, repeat, day after day.
When I listen to that song, Girls, and I'm just like, how is this a hit? And it was a hit.
It was a tongue-in-cheek, and they're having fun.
It's still, it's like, man.
No Sleep Till Brooklyn was always one of my faves, you know, I mean. But anyway. We move on. Hey, man, it is Abe in for Carl today. And yes, this hour of the show is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. We got a really cool event, guys. Just wrapped up Mother's Day weekend. Father's Day is coming. We want you guys to join us at the Lazy Dog Restaurant and Bar in Dunwoody. Celebrating Dad's Day with you. Go to 929thegame.com. Click on the contest page, and tell us how you want to treat your dad to a special dinner with the 929 The Game staff. We're all going to be there. And if you want to bring your grandfather or your kid or your coach, whoever that father figure is, sometimes that father figure is your mom. Either way, guys, it's all good. Make sure to enter now for a chance to win. Going to be a lot of fun, guys. And Andy Randy with a special broadcast at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, by the way, on Friday. So we get up there and have some fun. Are we in studio all week this week? No road trip for us? Okay. So, all right, man. Carl will be back next week, and we'll be taking the show on the road. Hey, we'll talk some NBA coming up a little bit later in the program. Big surprise, maybe not. Indiana just blows. Was it a 19-point lead the Cavs blow? And Indiana blows through them in the second half and punched their ticket.
It was funny because I'm trying to remember what my timeline was yesterday. We obviously grabbed dinner. By the time I got home and walked the dog, I think is what it was, I finally got in front of the TV and turned it on. And the Cavs are blowing them out. Like you said, it's like 19 points. Literally from the moment I turned it on.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's because of me. I know people believe that. But from the moment I turned it on, it was all Pacers. They immediately went on that 16-2 run or whatever it was to get back into it. It was just all Pacers. Crazy turnaround.
Hey, real quick, I just got a sidebar to what we're just talking about in Guy, I should say in the Dog Report. Guy Talk is coming up next segment. We were talking about Jackson Cantwell real quick and why he decided, Abe and I were debating, can you get the same juice for the NFL in Miami that you can in Athens? Well, Graham Coffey, who covers recruiting, and he's a co-founder of Dog Central, by the way, he put it out there as a great point. He said that, you know, heard that soundbite where Jackson Cantwell is taking shots of On3 Sports Pete Nakos. For saying that he was, you know, had the story all wrong about Miami and money. Well, the last guy who accused Pete Nakos of pushing a false narrative was Nico Iamaleva's dad.
Yeah, I remember that.
And we saw also how that went. So I'll go with Pete Nakos, who's friends with Rusty, on this one.
And again, just to further your point from last segment, it's okay to admit.
Yeah.
It's not.
Hey, I appreciate Kirby, you know, and Coach Searles and everybody else who was part of his recruiting process, Coach Bobo. And I just, it's a better fit for me in Miami. At the end of the day, all things being equal, the money was more in Miami. Duh.
Well, let me ask you a follow-up, because now my head's spinning. Do you think, like, Cristobal and the Miami staff were telling them, you can't say that, or else other schools will have ammunition to raise more money, and we won't be, like, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, look, the top 25, as we always say, is the top, or, you know, top 30 teams that are on the cusp. If either you pass the hat and you have your NIL stuff in order with your collective until, you know, whatever changes come down the pike, or you don't. I mean, Georgia Tech's finally got the money, men. Everyone's in the same direction. There's no more infighting. Brent's got a vision. They're never going to have as many five stars as Georgia, but they're going in the right direction. So, I mean, look, at the end of the day, Miami's got a rich tradition and history. They haven't done jack in 20 years.
Yeah, and to your point, Abe, if you're just listening to him talk, when I first heard that soundbite, I was just thinking to myself, like, he sounds like a very well-trained, like, he didn't even sound like a 16-year-old kid.
Right.
He sounded like he was already in college the way he delivered that message. So,
right.
You know, he knew this was going to come. and he was going to be needed to be prepared to give an answer.
So again, for the guy that he was calling out, he said, oh, they got it all wrong. That's the same dude that basically had all the insight on what was going on in Tennessee. And again, credit to Josh Heupel saying, hey, pound sand, good luck. And at the end of the day, when do we think of UCLA? Never. You know, and will he be the guy that gets him turned around? We'll find out. But it sure as hell ain't playing in front of, 100,000 people at Neyland Stadium.
I mean, they're at least in the Big Ten now, which certainly helps from that perspective.
With a coach who says it's great. Two great emblems coming together.
Bro, that coach. I mean.
That's that introductory soundbite we have from the Big Ten press conference last year.
Want to talk about the opposite of Cantwell being ready to field that question? UCLA coach Foster?
It was ugly. Yikes. Hey, man, we're going to talk to Grant McCauley in less than an hour, but last night, a big win for the Braves. They get to the 500 mark. Brian Snitker was talking about Schwellenbach. He gave up a home run on the first pitch of the game to the shortstop, and then he got dialed in. But it's kind of cool because we were all worried about Schwellenbach. He had an amazing start. For a while, he was looking better than Chris Sale. But here is the skipper talking about his starter.
He ran into some, he'd missed place a pitch every now and then when he first got here, and but everything was kind of seamless, and now they're preparing for him and they're aware of him, and those guys talk. I mean, I know our guys, when we run into players from other teams, they like talking about him because it's kind of a rough ride for him, so they're aware of him, and he's going to have to continue adjust as he has.
He's picked it back up, and I know some people probably got a little too far over their skis on his first 3-4 starts. And then there were certainly people who came completely unglued when he had as rough a patch as he's seen in his young professional career. But I think what he's gotten back to is what we're probably going to expect. And any time a guy can go 6 or 6-plus and 3 or less, I'm going to take that. Just give me I know it's an old-school stat here, Mike. Give me a quality start.
Right.
6 and 3 or less, and I'm happy.
Hey, and we had a great job from Kenny Powers, Grant Holmes. And then last night, Schwelly was dialed in. Bullpen was okay. We got Pierce. We said, let's use Pierce Johnson other than Iglesias and let him get a mental health break. No errors. It was just a solid. One of the things I loved last night was, let's go to cut 14 and 15 for those scoring at home. Drake Baldwin, I love this guy. And I'm going to tell you why I'm upset about Snicker in just a second. But here's Drake saying just too much talent, man, for them to be under 500 for as long as they were.
Baseball's a weird sport. You just have to keep on pushing, keep doing the things you're doing, and eventually balls will fall. I mean, that was those first two series, it seems like just nothing went our way. And over a course of 162 games, it starts to even out. So just continuing what we're doing, hitting the ball hard. Our pitchers have been incredible as well. So just getting them run support, and, the offense will start to score more runs here. There's too much talent here to not let that happen. So it shows we're on the right track.
Before the break, I said a roster. I should have said lineup, babe. I was rushing to get to the commercial break, but it's a lineup change from a Snicker. The roster change will eventually add Ronald Acuna. We found out yesterday, and Grant McCauley will join us to talk about him coming up to Gwinnett, what that schedule is going to be in Gwinnett, and if you got tickets for maybe the Red Sox series, maybe that'll be when we see Ronald Acuna, right? 2 weeks?
It might be. Yeah, for Acuna. Sorry, I was thinking ahead to Strider, but yeah. Honestly, as quick as they moved him up, they're probably pretty pleased with something. They already want him close. Yeah.
Right. But what I don't like with Snicker, it's a lineup move. They're going to take Baldwin, this hot bat, out of the lineup tonight. You just saw the lineup, and it's Murph back in there. That's a mistake. You can roll the dice with the hot hand, okay? And the hot hand right now is Drake Baldwin, because Murph was hot when he came back, and then he tailed away. He cooled off. I want more, I could use more cowbell. I need more Baldwin.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you that it needs to be Murphy because of, I would have been perfectly fine if they had kept Baldwin in, but I'm also okay with them kind of doing a little bit more splitting of these duties, but that is the one thing I need to see. What I don't want to continue is 4 for Murph and 1 for Baldwin. I want to see a lot more 3 and 2 or 2 and 3. And to your other point, I know, why can he play second base? Can he play the outfield? That's not going to happen.
No, but here's the thing. Murph is batting 194 for the month of May.
Yeah.
And this guy's making great contact. Ozzy got on base twice. Ozzy, one was kind of a bleeder in the left center. But let's get back and hear Drake, because it was an encouraging effort.
It's definitely very encouraging just the routine I have. And it's encouraging to keep that same routine because it's been working at the start of the year here. And, it's been great to be around the guys who are here. A lot of veterans, they just kind of keep you locked in. The coaches have been great, and they've been a huge part to that to continuing the success I've had.
To further compare and contrast my argument on Murph versus Drake Baldwin. So again, Murph's batting 194 for May. Drake is batting 556 for May. So again, I'm not a big analytics guy, not a big
slight
math guy.
Sample size issues,
one guy batting five. See, for those who don't follow baseball, 500 means you're getting on base half the time you're up. Okay, and not to mention walks. And then 194 would mean that basically two out of 10, you're getting on base. So I would go with freaking Drake Baldwin, Snitker. What are you doing?
Can I sell you on this? If you were going with Drake Baldwin, he has to bat fifth, and you only can hit him fifth. But off the bench, in key moments, he could come in and hit sixth,
right,
or seventh, eighth, ninth. I'm just saying it's been a while since we've had good, reliable bat off the bench.
This is Alex Anthopoulos' do-over for blowing the Contreras trade, because this guy rakes. Get him in the freaking lineup. I mean, come on, man. Murph,
he caught two games in a row, did Baldwin. Yeah. If tonight's the one-off, that's fine.
Hey, and I'll give whatever you feel the defensive liability is with Baldwin at this stage of his career, or handling pitchers, so be it. Let's go. Get him out there, man. It's Elder on the bump tonight. Maybe that has something to do with Murph behind the dish?
Well, it was because of who they've got, righty-lefty, the thing. But
baloney!
You don't always buy another righty-lefty split.
Come on, Drake, again, 556 for the month, 194 for the month. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I do know a little bit about that math. Hey, man, this hour of the show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. We'll come back in Guy Talk. I got a couple of things for you, including, I got notes. Rory keeps getting asked about him and DeChambeau and their lack of conversation at the Masters. Why is that a thing? And have you seen some of the previews for the new Madden movie? You're not going to believe who they cast and how it looks. We'll explain coming up next.